Well, welcome back, everyone. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Skyline studio. We're here till 4 a.m., as we are every weekday morning. Friday, all the regular Friday features are coming up. We're going to celebrate Dick Van Dyke's 94th birthday by going back and looking at some of the classic episodes of the show and his films and all that cool stuff. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. I would like to welcome to the show my guest. He's a terrific actor. He's been in a ton of things, and he's currently in a movie called Colwell with Karen Allen, and it's going to be screened at the Facets this weekend. And he's going to be there for a Q&A tonight after the 7 o'clock screening, and tomorrow he'll be there for the 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock screenings on Saturday at Facets for a Q&A following the screening of Colwell. He's a terrific actor and an old friend, and I want to welcome him back to the show. It's Kevin J. O'Connor. Kevin, how are you, man?
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Good, good. Good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you in a long time.
You too. You too. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. So, how you been? You've been busy. I know you've been working on, you've been doing a lot of TV as of recently.
Yeah, that's, I think the, it's where a lot of the work is now, so.
Yeah.
And some really good work, too, so.
Absolutely.
I've been lucky, yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, with all the ways to watch television now, with all the streaming networks, and I mean, major, major actors and stars are doing TV now. It's so much different than it was years ago.
I know, I just heard you mention Family Classics.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm more accustomed to watching,
yeah.
Is something like Family Classics, as opposed to, there are so many things out there now. It's just amazing. So many streaming places to go, and
yeah.
So many shows. You know, how many times have you looked up some? I'm like, I've never heard of the show before.
Yeah.
And it's nominated for 20 Emmys, and I've never heard of it.
Right.
And yeah. I'm supposedly in show business,
right.
You know, supposedly.
Well, you grew up here in Chicago, Kevin. You're from
yeah.
here, and you mentioned Family Classics. Did you watch it when you were a kid?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there a host now? Are they
going
to have
Steve Sanders from Channel 9 News is going to host
this
episode.
I like him a lot.
And because at first obviously it was Frazier Thomas, and then when Frazier passed away, my good friend Roy Leonard.
Of course, your first boss, Roy
yeah,
Leonard.
My mentor took over, and then they had Dean Richards, our good friend Dean Richards hosted
sure.
it a few times, and now Steve Sanders is hosting it tonight. So it should be fun to have that back.
That is great, yeah.
Yeah. You remember all the, man, you know, you grew up here. You remember all the local, remember when we used to have, like, local TV? Like it
absolutely.
Was,
oh. It was amazing.
And they don't have that anymore. That's gone. The only guy we have is Svengoolie, as you know.
I know, our mutual friend.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that show, because everything else is gone.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why I think people around the country love that show.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys our age, or around our age, have memories of their own TV hosts,
yeah,
and when they see Svengoolie, I think it just brings back those memories.
I love the fact that he's now nationwide. That just makes me that Rich is now seen nationwide and worldwide. People, he gets letters and he gets cards from people all around the world, and it's great.
I know. I gave a friend of mine who's a prop master on, I think, Supergirl, or he was on Supergirl or some show, and
yeah.
he wore his Svengoolie t-shirt, and he said he had like three or four people coming up to him, this was in L.A., going, oh my God, I love that guy. You know, they knew who he was, even though they're from wherever. None
yeah.
of them were from Chicago.
Yeah, it's amazing. And Rich is just such a pro, and he, you know, you've been on the show, you see the kind of work that he does on that show. Oh my God, he writes everything. It's just, it's incredible. I've been on the show, too, and I've witnessed it firsthand. He does unbelievable amount of work for every episode.
It's amazing. It's like just from another era. You know, when you watch him, you're like being thrown back into a time machine and,
yeah.
you know, watching someone on the, you know, the early 50s television, you know, having to do everything, you know, themselves.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Roach is yeah. a great guy.
Jim Roach is a great. He's, you know, he's his right hand man. A really
yes.
wonderful guy. I love those guys, and it's great. And it was just so fun to be on that show. And you were hilarious on the last time you were on the show.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
It was a while. It was a while back. But it, now, so this is my producer now is Tom Hush, and he's a huge fan, particularly of. Now, when I said I wanted to get Kevin on the show, that was, you know, because I'm friends with you, Kevin, as you know, we go back.
Sure.
And I was like, I got to get him on the show to talk about his new movie with Karen Allen and all that cool stuff. It'll be fun to get him on the show. And you immediately said, oh, my God. What did you say?
I said, oh, my God, that's Benny.
That's Benny. Of course.
He loves you in those movies.
Yes. Yeah, that's weird. We did a I did an interview with Entertainment Weekly, which is oddly enough monthly now.
Yeah.
I don't think it was ever weekly. It was twice a month, I think.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's monthly now. And it was for the 20th anniversary of that movie.
Oh,
and
that,
I could not believe it.
It is the 20th anniversary, isn't it? It did come out in 99.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, so
did they get
everybody?
You know, several of us.
Brendan Fraser and everybody?
They got everyone, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Wow, 20 years. Jeez, I feel old, Kevin.
You feel old, yeah. I know.
Now, I was telling him, since he loved the Mummy movies. He loved you and Van Helsing. But here's the deal. He has to admit this. He has not seen Deep Rising.
And oh, wow.
That's kind of unforgivable, quite frankly.
Yeah. I know, yeah. I think of, I know you've brought that up with me several times, that movie, because I know you're a fan of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Big fan. I love it. And you're hilarious in it. And it's just such a fun movie. And it was one of those movies that kind of came out of nowhere. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, what is this? And then I saw it, and it was just so amazingly entertaining. I love
it. Opened right up against another boat movie. I don't know if you've heard of it. It was called The Titanic. It was called Titanic. Yes.
Yeah, I think that was a little independent film, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah. But it's gone on. But Deep Rising has gone on to have a massive cult following, right? Is that what you get recognized for that one a lot?
It has. It's bizarre because it was pretty quiet for a few years after that film came out. But I've heard more about it in recent years than I ever did then.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to the beginning. You're a stage guy here. You worked at Steppenwolf. You worked on stage all over the place here. But your first movie, and this right out of the gate, and Tom, I don't know if you know this or not. You know what his first role was?
I do not.
You know the first director he ever worked with?
Oh,
it would be Francis Ford Coppola.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So you worked. How did you get Peggy Sue Got Married? And you're so great.
Well, actually, the first person to ever hire me, this is interesting, is Al Franken.
Is that right?
And I did a local movie. I only had maybe one or two lines. It was called, I've never seen the movie. It had two titles, one of which was One More Saturday Night.
Oh, I've seen that. I've seen that.
And it was Franken and Davis.
Yeah.
And that put an end to their comedy duo film career.
I saw that movie. Of course I did. Because anything, you know, Kevin, anything that was associated with SNL in any way, I saw. Because
Right.
And so I saw. Sure. I remember that. What did you play in that movie? I haven't seen it in years.
I played some. I don't know. I was piercing some kid's ear for a dollar or something. I was some thug, and I had one or two lines.
Right.
But Al Franken hired me, and I used to bump into him in New York once in a while. And he did something for Comedy Central, and he used me. He wanted to use me, and he said that I owed him for giving me my first lines in a movie. But then I went to almost, oh God, weeks or a month after that, and I did Peggy Sue Got Married with Francis Coppola. Yeah.
Now, how did you get that? You auditioned, obviously. What was it like to audition?
I auditioned. This is very odd, and this says a lot about Coppola, especially then. Now it seems like this would seem more acceptable. I had written a few sort of monologues and for myself, and I don't know why I even wrote that. It wasn't for the purpose of auditioning, but it was just something I was having fun with, and I put one of them on tape, and a woman from New York who eventually became my agent, she sent it to the casting director, and I think Coppola really liked that it was just sort of this it was terrible. The lighting was awful, and I think that appealed to him, this sort of low-budget monologue that weird kid had made.
All right.
And then they flew me out there immediately. I mean, the same day I think they received it, they flew me out to L.A. This is a true story. I'll make it really fast. I went to L.A. I'd never flown before.
Mm-hmm.
I was meeting Francis Ford Coppola on the 4th of July because he was going later that day with his family to some big event.
Right.
So I had to meet him at like 6:30 in the morning at a closed Universal. They took me from the hotel and drove me into the Universal movie studio, the lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't know where I was being taken to. So I didn't even know I was on the lot. And I finished doing the audition with him, which was like surreal.
Yeah.
And I came outside and I sat on a curb. This is total true story. Waiting for a cab to take me back to the hotel because the driver that picked me up wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Coppola, not even someone from the office. It was Coppola himself who had to come out and tell me, you know, this isn't really a street. This is total truth. This is a, you know, this is a studio. You know, this is, why don't you go in there and use the phone? I was like, oh my God, it was humiliating. I was literally sitting on the curb like we would in, you know,
yeah,
like I was in Elgin or something waiting for.
That's great. That's great.
That's but a true story.
You were great in that movie. And I got to tell you, I've told you this before. My first ex-wife was in love with you in that movie. Oh my God, the rebel, the leather jacket, the, you know, she was in love with you in that movie.
Yeah. You should have seen me trying to ride the motorcycle for the first week with the stunt guy yelling at me.
Kevin, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Kevin J. O'Connor is here. Tremendous actor, great guy, and Chicagoan. And Colwell is his new movie. We'll talk about that more right after we break.
Hey! O'Connell! It looks to me like I've got all the horses!
Hey, Benny! Looks to me like you're on the wrong side of the river!
Welcome back. So that was, you're indulging yourself there, Tom. You needed to play that, right?
When given the opportunity.
Okay. Know. Well, there you go. Well, we have Benny, the actual actor who played that part, on the line. And Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Kevin, welcome back. Kevin J. O'Connor is here. Welcome back.
Thank you, Tom. Yes.
let's. I want to talk about a couple of recent things that you've done, and then we're going to jump into Colwell. I am really disappointed that no one went to go see Widows. I thought that movie was great, and the acting was so good, and you were fantastic in it. What was it like working on that one?
Oh, it was great. It was like I was really nervous about doing it because. I hadn't met Steve McQueen when I got the role, and I didn't know what he would be like on set. And he's such a he's a real, sounds sort of pretentious or something, but he's a real artist, you know.
He
really is, and he's also a real character, you know. It's like, I don't know. It seems like it would be, I don't know, maybe working with, you know, someone like Godard or something like that, you know, he's just loose and crazy. And if something comes into his brain at that second, he throws it out to you and you have to, you know, you have to be there to be ready to do it.
Yeah.
But it was great. Really, really great.
Yeah.
Really, really good experience.
Yeah. And a really terrific movie. I mean, again, like I said, the reception was very disappointing because I thought, you know, it was a real crowd pleaser. You know what I mean? It was a great thriller. Also, the acting was just insanely good.
It gets all these great reviews, and it gets pumped up. And then, yeah, it didn't do what they wanted it to do. Oh. I think it's done well in you know, now on DVD.
Yeah. Once people catch up with it and go, oh, wow, did I miss this thing on the big screen? Because it's so good.
Yes.
And you
didn't remind you, it reminded me of almost a 70s movie where they took a genre like a thriller, an action thriller, but there was this sort of social underpinning to it, which was really,
I agree with
really
you.
Great.
And
you don't see that, that mashup, you don't see much anymore.
That's true. And you got to work in the legendary Fireside Bowl.
That's great. I'd been to that place. When I got in there, I said, I'd been here before, years before, but I had been there. It's so cool.
Yeah. I used to be on a league there when I was like 11 at the Fireside. I was on a bowling league when I was like 11. But anyway, I wanted to mention Widows because I think more people should see it, and you're great in it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Now, here's a movie that I saw earlier this year that I found incomprehensible, and it's not your fault, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
Can you explain Captive State?
No. I can't.
Wait, what was it like working on that? Because I had no idea what was going on during the entire movie.
Well, they The script was really good. I mean, it was maybe a little convoluted, but it was really interesting. It was like these so much going on, maybe too much. But it was interesting, and I sort of, you know, you'd read it, and you'd go, I think I missed, what is the connection with this? And you'd go back, and there usually was a connecting factor to some of the things that at first read you missed.
Yeah.
But I think when they went and edited it, I think they maybe realized that it should have been maybe a miniseries or something that was just too much.
Yeah.
So I didn't even, when they cut the film, I think they lost quite a bit of what they needed to have in there, but I understand because it could only, you know, it had to go one way or another .
Yeah, and that, you know, the director of that movie directed that really great Rise of the Planet of the Apes,
which I thought was great.
Me too.
Yeah,
me too. And I thought his remake of The Gambler was pretty solid. And so when I saw Captain,
he's a really smart guy. I mean, you can see it in there. It's not a failed sort of popcorn movie. It may be a failed intelligent, thriller.
I mean, it's.
But it's just, I just think in the editing process and maybe, I, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was, I was like, what is happening? during.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about the TV stuff that you've been doing. You were in the Stephen King, 11/22/63.
Yes.
What was that like? Was that cool? You played the Yellow Card Man.
Yes. I'll tell you one thing, just one story about it. I wasn't even there this day, which sucked, but I think you'll like this. There's little Stephen King Easter eggs throughout that thing.
Yes.
I can't. So they even have Christine is being washed in some kid's driveway in one little section.
Yeah.
Stephen King came out that day to Toronto, and he signed the dashboard of the car. And the heat, it was an old car, and it was already hot outside, so it was overheated, the car. And I guess his signature sort of melted in kind of a Munsters-looking, spooky sort of, which was supposed to be great.
Yeah.
You know, his signature in Christine.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. I got along with James Franco really well, and I had never met him before.
Yeah. Well, I know Stephen King fans loved it, and it was, like you said, full of Easter eggs. I mean, way beyond anything that I could even comprehend. You know what I mean?
Me too. Yeah, I missed several of them because I just didn't know certain things, but yeah.
I also loved you in On Becoming a God in Central Florida, which I think is a really terrific show.
Yes. Yeah, I remember reading that I wear double-breasted pinstripe suit
right.
with no shoes.
Right.
And I said, no shoes, so I had to walk around barefoot. And before I did any take, inside the studio or outside especially, there was a guy with a broom, and his job was to make sure there was no glass or nails and anything because I was barefoot through the whole thing.
Right.
And, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So, but very interesting, very well-written, very well-written.
Yeah.
Kirsten Dunst is great. She was one of the producers of the show. The reason I was there, Jesse, Plemons.
Yeah.
Of course. I had briefly worked with him on The Master, and I believe that was the reason I was in that show. He thought, you know who would be good for this role? It was me. So it was really cool when I met them. They were all prepared because Kirsten and he were the ones that pretty much cast me.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great. Now, you mentioned The Master. You did two films with Paul Thomas Anderson, who, as you know, Kevin, he's my favorite director.
Yeah.
He's my favorite.
Yes.
And you mentioned The Master, but you were also in There Will Be Blood. And we've talked about There Will Be Blood several times, but just briefly, what was it like to work with Daniel Day-Lewis?
He is really, he is so intense while you're doing a scene with him. I mean, he's one of those actors you can really, I don't know how to describe it. You can feel his everything seems real. Everything seems authentic, but also amplified.
Yeah.
You know? And it's...
And especially that role, though, too. I mean, it was such an intense role.
Oh, yes. I mean, he... we did a scene, a long scene, that actually got cut from the film, where he gets drunk,
mm-hmm.
and I'm trying to sway him out of getting any drunker. And I at the end of the scene, I kind of lift him up. He's completely loaded, wasted.
Yeah.
And I bring him out of this, we're in this big workroom with the men from the field, from the oil fields, who are having lunch. And the first take, he was a little drunk. The second, third take, he was more drunk, more intense. And by the sixth one, it was so, it was shocking to be in front of him.
Yeah.
And you couldn't help but be in the scene.
Yeah.
You know, with him. Just a great, you know, it's no news, but he's a great actor.
Yeah, absolutely. It must have been like really amazing to work with him and on that movie. And I, as you know, I adore that movie. I love that film. And I thought, did you see Phantom Thread?
Yes,
he was phenomenal in that, and that's another great movie.
I think it's one of Paul's best movies.
I agree. I thought that movie was amazing, and it was just, it had such a great tone to it, because it was like this really intense sort of love story, but also about creativity, and then it just gets weird. You know,
it is. It's like most of Paul's films. But what's so great about Paul's films, for me, are the, and I, when I watched him direct, I saw him in action, how detailed every scene is.
Yeah,
you know how every prop, everything is so thought out, and he's really a brilliant guy.
Yeah, he is. Now you work in all kinds of genres, and you have made some good, you have made some crazy like sort of horror genre movies. Do you like working on those?
I do I do until they're released. but it is fun, because I'm a fan of, you know, Roger Corman films.
Sure.
And have you ever read that great book? I'm sure if you haven't read it, you'd love it. I can never remember the title. It's like Nurses, Sea Monsters, and something.
Yeah. No. I've had the author on the show. I've had her on the show. She worked with Corman and wrote this tremendous book about him, and I can't remember the name, I think it's a guy.
Okay, this is like a coffee table book.
Oh, okay. All
the
right.
Whole book is just interviews. You know those books that are just sort of interviews?
Yeah.
But you got to read that. It's great.
Yeah.
And it has everyone talking about him, Ron Howard and Alan Arkish and everyone talking about him. But I love those. So sometimes it's fun for me as a film fan to be on those horror movies, and when there's no time to do anything, and you know you have four scenes left, and it's 5 a.m, and they have to stop at 6:15.
Yeah.
You know, so there's something pretty crazy and exciting about doing those.
Yeah, they're fun. They're actually fun to watch. Now, you know, it's amazing. You know, Kevin, how Dick Wolf has basically taken over this city.
Yeah.
And you appeared on Chicago PD.
I did about a season on that. Yes.
Yeah. What was it like to work on that? I mean, it's they've hired so many local people. It's great for the actors and the crews here in the city.
It is. I'm really happy for the crews and the actors, you know. It was nice. It's fast. It's TV. It's procedural TV, you know, but some of the actors, Alex Cotillas, who I'd worked with years ago, and a few of the other people, I worked with a couple of the other people, so it was nice.
Yeah.
And some of the crew people that I really, really liked.
Yeah.
I've worked with several times.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you actually work with one of my best friends, my friend Mike View. You worked with him on Mob Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mike, he's a funny guy.
He's a very funny guy. So, all right, listen, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll dive into Colwell, okay, Kevin?
Sure.
Okay, cool. Kevin J. O'Connor is with us. He's great. He's a terrific actor and a good friend and a Chicagoan. And he's in a movie called Colwell with Karen Allen. It's screened. It'll be screening at Facets for the full week, but he will be at the screening tonight at 7 and at tomorrow's screenings at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. to do a Q&A. Kevin J. O'Connor is with us, and we'll get back to the conversation after this. Right. Welcome back, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Skyline studio. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Flaw Jams Friday, all coming up. And Vic's Picks will kick it all off in just a little bit. We're also going to talk about Dick Van Dyke, 94 years old today. So we're going to celebrate that. And also, the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Kevin J. O'Connor is with us, terrific actor, who's been in a ton of stuff. His latest movie is called Colwell with Karen Allen. And Kevin, welcome back.
Hey.
All right. By the way, we got a text here. It says, Kevin's biography lists him as the south side, southwest side of Chicago. Can I ask what neighborhood he grew up in? What neighborhood did you grow up in, Kevin?
I was actually born in Little Flower neighborhood in 80th and Damon.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't move that far to around the Bogan High School area in Pulaski.
Okay. Well, there you go. That's where you grew up. Okay. Let's talk.
I have to bring up something. Was that Oriel Samuelson?
Yes.
Is he still around?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, Orion. Good for him.
Yeah, Orion is still kicking. Orion, he does the business reports in the morning still.
That's great.
He's a legend. And you know
he is.
Yeah, that's him. That's
amazing.
Yeah. He's been in the business. He's been 60 something years. He's been doing this.
So he's got to be in his
late 80s, I think, mid to late 80s. Yeah,
good for him.
Still doing it too. Yeah,
and Dick Van Dyke's 94.
94 years old.
Oh my God!
And he was just in Mary Poppins Returns last year, and he had a dance number.
My brother saw. I didn't see it, but my brother Chris said that it was the highlight for him of that film.
Oh, no question about it. It was without question the best part of the film. No question.
Yes, I loved. You know, a film I wish more people would watch is The Comic.
Oh, The Comic is a great movie. Yeah.
He is so great in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that one for sure when we jump into the Dick Van Dyke topic. Well, Kevin, you're in a new movie called Colwell.
Yes.
And they're screening it all week at Facets, and you're going to be there tonight after the 7 p.m. screening and tomorrow after the 5 and 7 p.m. screening for Q&As. It stars
right.
Karen Allen. Tell everybody about Colwell.
Colwell was a script I got a year and a half ago. I can't remember. And it is, without getting into it, it's basically about Karen Allen's character who is being, she's being forced to retire. She's a postmaster at the post office that she is in charge of is connected to her home. Her character doesn't drive.
Mm.
And there are some of these things in these small towns where literally someone's, I don't know, maybe not their garage, but with her, it was like the rec room or the family room is a mini post office. And this is where all the people from the town, a lot of older people, maybe a young woman with her child, you know, who's on maternity leave, all these in this small town in Pennsylvania, they all hang around there, and it's her life, and she loves it. And it's about, these post office, which I guess is really happening, becoming redundant because of the internet or all these other sources. And they're going to close hers. And it's her sort of fight and to keep her post office open and the main reason for her getting up in the morning is this post office and the people that hang around it. So
and what do you play?
I play I'm sort of the person she opens up to a little bit more than the others. I'm a fellow post office worker, and I bring her mail to her every morning because, like I said, she doesn't drive.
Right.
So we have these little conversations, and you sort of see me come in and out sporadically through the film. It's a really nice, it's not a really big role, but it's a kind of role I really like.
Yeah.
And he's just a sort of nice, quiet guy.
Yeah.
It's not crazy or eccentric. He's just sort of this simple, nice guy.
Yeah. So what was it like working with Karen Allen? Because she doesn't get a lot of lead roles like this. And I love Karen Allen. I just think she's terrific.
So do I. I've always loved her. And she, it was great. She is so down to earth and completely not Hollywood and lives, I think, in Woodstock or somewhere. And, you know, in a house that's some old house from the 1800s or something, you know, that she redid. And she's just really, really down to earth, quiet. Nice person.
Yeah. And, you know, I fell in love with her. You know when I fell in love when I saw Animal House? I was like 13
sure.
when I saw Animal House, and that was it. And then, you know, it just kept getting more and more. I fell in love with her more and more. I mean, Starman and Shoot the Moon. She's done, and Raiders. I mean, come on. She's Marion, you know, in Raiders.
Nick, you would love her because she loves to talk about those films. She's not dismissive about any of those. She really... really love, because I love that Phil Kaufman film, The Wanderers.
Oh, yeah.
That she was in. Remember that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sort of underrated. Everyone was in love with Warriors. I said, no, you have to see this film, The Wanderers.
It was weird, and because they both came out at the same time. I remember they both came
totally
out at the same
did.
Time.
They totally did.
Yeah.
And she, you know, loves to talk, because there was some anniversary when I brought it up to her. She said, oh, I just did an anniversary of that film, you know, where they went to some film fest. Yeah, but she's really great. She's really great in this movie. And she has a Independent Spirit Award nomination, which was totally shocking, because I talked to the director, Tom Quinn, who's great.
Yeah.
And this film was so under the radar that when that came out, I think it really surprised everybody.
Yeah.
That it got a nomination for her and this John Cassavetes Award for films made under $500,000.
Oh, good. It's going to get some great recognition then. That's awesome.
Amazing.
So you're going to be at Facets tonight at 7 o'clock and tomorrow at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. for those screenings doing a Q&A. Do you like talking to audiences about movies?
Yes and no. I'm very nervous about it. Mm. But there are certain parts of the film, and when you see it, you'll kind of understand that I don't feel comfortable talking about, because I'm not really involved with us. So I wish the director was there with me.
Mm.
But other than that, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be happening. So if people want to come see this movie and then have a little Q&A with you afterwards, tonight at 7 o'clock at Facets and tomorrow at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. screenings. And then it runs.
It'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. And it runs all the way through the 19th of December. And you can go to facets.org for all the information and all that cool stuff. What are you working on now, Kevin? Anything?
I'm not working on anything now, but after the new year. I'm waiting on something. I wanted to tell you, I went to Italy to do Catch 22.
Yes, the TV series,
For Hulu.
Right.
And I just, if you could get some footage of me going to Sardinia, being picked up by the driver who didn't speak any English. And as my Irish cousin said, who had been to Sardinia, I said, what's it like? And she said, rocks and water. And so I was there for 9 weeks.
Wow.
Completely panicked until I got to Rome. So,
wow. Nine weeks. Man, oh, man. And was there a language barrier, it sounds like, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I like to be in big cities. I'm just more comfortable.
I gotcha.
It's beautiful. But,
yeah.
For me, it was a little... panicky.
Okay. All right, Kevin. Yes. Kevin, thank you very much for joining us. We got to get together sometime, okay?
Absolutely. Okay. And I missed you at the Riches. I looked for you at the 40th anniversary,
but
I think you were doing the show.
I couldn't do it. Yeah, I couldn't be there, but I'm glad you were there. Kevin, it's always a pleasure. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Thanks. Good talking to you.
Take care, man. Kevin J. O'Connor, he's awesome. Colwell's the name of the movie. Go to Facets and see it. And you can see a Q&A with him tonight and tomorrow. All right, we'll break. News is up next.